Here we go. You're listening to Law and Gospel on this Monday, July the 8th in the year of our Lord 2024. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and we like on Mondays to take a look at lessons for the following Sunday, which is July the 14th, referred to as Proper 10. The gospel reading is from Mark chapter 6, and it's entitled Herod Kills John. This is very important because it's also found in Matthew 14 and Luke 9. But we're reading from Mark chapter 6, beginning with verse 14. King Herod heard about Jesus because his name was now well known. How did Jesus' name get well known? Well, he had many people who were flocking around him to be healed and to hear his message. In fact, the text just before this is when Jesus sends out the 12 and he tells them to preach that the people should repent. And they also drove out many demons and poured oil on many who were sick and made them well. So the reputation of Jesus had become well known. And so how did King Herod regard Jesus? Verse 14 continues, John the baptizer has risen from the dead, he said, and that's why these powers are working in him. So Herod believed that Jesus was John the baptizer, risen from the dead. Verse 15, others said, he is Elijah. Still others, he is a prophet like one of the other prophets. But when Herod heard about it, he said, John, whose head I cut off, has risen. So he believed that Jesus was the risen John the Baptizer from the dead. The text goes on to explain why Herod had cut off the head of John. Verse 17. Herod had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison. Now, why did Herod do that? Well, Herod had married Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip. And John told Herod, it isn't right for you to have your brother's wife. Now, I find this really interesting because John the Baptizer is not staying within a religious context. He's also talking about ethics. And that's what a pastor needs to do when he's preaching to his congregation. Examine your congregation and discover what things they are doing that are contrary to the Word of God, and preach against those things. So, here John is reprimanding Herod for an improper marriage. Verse 19. Herodias, and that's, of course, the wife of his brother Philip, who had married Herod, she had a grudge against John and wanted to kill him, but she couldn't do it. Herod was afraid of John because he knew John was a just and holy man. So he protected him, which meant that Herodias could not put him to death. When he listened to John, he was very much disturbed, and yet he liked to hear him. Now, I find that how a congregation should respond to a pastor. When the pastor comes out speaking out against what the people are saying or doing or acting, they're very much disturbed. And yet, they begin to like what he tells them, because as they have received the gift of faith, they recognize that Jesus is their Savior, and therefore they look to him for salvation. Well, we get to verse 21. An opportunity came on Herod's birthday when he gave a dinner for his noblemen, the tribunes, and the leading men of Galilee. His daughter, that is, the daughter of Herodias, came in and danced, and Herod and his guests were delighted with her. Herod told the girl, "Ask me for anything you want, and I'll give it to you." And he solemnly swore to her, "I'll give you anything you ask, up to half of my kingdom." So she went and asked her mother, Herodias, "What should I ask for?" The mother told her, "The head of John the Baptizer." So here is the opportunity for Herodias to get rid of John. So the daughter hurried right back to the king. "I want you to give me right now," she demanded, "on a platter, the head of John the Baptizer." The king was very sorry, but because of the oaths and because of the guests, he did not want to refuse her. So he quickly sent a guard and ordered him to bring John's head. He went out and cut off John's head in prison. Then he brought the head on a platter and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother. Now, you wonder, why would God permit that? Well, you got to remember, at the very moment that John's head was cut off, John was in heaven, in the spirit. And therefore, he had been saved by Jesus Christ. Verse 29. When John's disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in the grave. So that's the gospel reading for Proper 10 for July the 14th. Another reading is Psalm 85. This is for the choir leader, a psalm by Korah's descendants. So it's entitled, "You Have Forgiven, Now Make Us Happy." It begins in verse 1. "You have been gracious to your country, O Lord. You have brought back Jacob from captivity. You have taken away your people's wrongs and covered all their sins. You have withdrawn all your fury. You don't let it blaze anymore." Now, what are they talking about? How can these people be forgiven? Because Christ has not even become incarnate. He has not yet died on the cross. But you see, the gift of the forgiveness of sins has been given to everybody who has faith that the Messiah will come to forgive their sins. That's what many in the Old Testament believed. And that's why God covered all their sins and withdrew his fury. Verse 4. "O God, our Savior, restore us, and do not be provoked with us again." Notice how they refer to God as their Savior. This obviously is speaking to Jesus Christ, because he is the promised Messiah, the Savior of the world. And they're asking that he not be provoked with us again. Provoked to what? To anger. It's not that the people stop sinning, but they realize that God's fury has been withdrawn because they believe in a Messiah who's going to take away their sins, which Jesus did on the cross. Verse 5. "Will you be angry with us forever and pour out your anger throughout the generations? Will you not restore our lives again so your people can delight in you?" That word "restore" is a word of resurrection. That all of us are born into this world with original sin, but we are restored. We are restored back to the way that Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Gethsemane. Excuse me, the Garden of Eden. They did not sin, but we continue to sin. Yet God does not hold it against us any longer. That's why he restores our lives so we can delight in him. Yes, a pastor can remind us how we have fallen into sin every day. And yet, the pastor can also remind us that God decides to forgive our sins, restore us, and show us his kindness, and give us his saving help. Now that's important, because his saving help is not something that means if we start doing good works by the help of God, then God regards those good works to be rewarded. No, we are not rewarded by our good works, because we fall short of the glory of God. Verse 8, I want to listen to what God the Lord says. Boy, that's probably the most important verse in Psalm 85. Because it reminds us on the Mount of Transfiguration, where God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And so therefore, Korah's descendants say, we want to listen to what God the Lord says. Why? Because he promised his people and his godly ones that they will be happy. There is the essence of the Christian faith. We will not be happy because of our works. We will be happy because of the promises of God. The promises of God are what he tells us, that our sins will be forgiven. It continues, but they must not go back to foolishness. Now, foolishness is more than just sinning, but it's a rejection of God's love, a rejection of God's promises. We don't believe what he is saying. And by rejecting the promises, we lose our faith and fall into the kingdom of Satan. But by believing his promises, even though we continue to sin, the promise is that we are forgiven. Because, as Jesus said from the cross, we really don't know what we are doing. That's why we must not go back to foolishness. Verse 9, surely God is near those who fear him to save them, that his glory may rest on our country. That's a wonderful promise. It's part of the first commandment. We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. That fear is a recognition that God could send us to hell, but he does not, because he has withdrawn his fury. It does not blaze anymore, because Jesus has promised to get our sins forgiven. Remember what John the Baptizer said. Behold, the Lamb of God, who has come to take away the sins of the world. So, Jesus came near us to save those who feared him, loved him, and trusted him. Verse 10, kindness and truth have met. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Boy, that's an interesting way that the psalm talks about our salvation. Righteousness and peace have kissed. That means the righteousness from God has now come to you. You have been kissed by God with the peace that the angels spoke of to the shepherds, and that Jesus said to his disciples on the night of the resurrection, peace be to you. Verse 11 has another metaphor. Truth sprouts from the ground, and righteousness looks down from heaven. When you think of the ground, you may think of the burial of Jesus, because he was crucified and he died. He was buried, but he also rose from the dead. That's the righteousness that looked down from heaven and forgave the disciples. Verse 12, the Lord will also give us what is good, and our land will produce its crop. Now, the word Lord is capitalized, every letter, and that refers to the name of God that Moses received on Mount Sinai. Yahweh, I am who I am, or what I like to translate, I fulfill what I promise. That's why he gives you what is good. What is good? In the worship service, you receive the announcement of the forgiveness of sins. You receive the sacrament of holy baptism and the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. All these are good, given to God, to righteous people. And those righteous people became righteous by what God did, not by their works, but by the works of God in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Verse 13, righteousness will go ahead of him and make his footsteps a way to walk in. This reminds us of the narrow and wide ways that Jesus talks about in regard to our salvation. The wide way is where we think we save ourselves by our works. The narrow way is how we are saved, by the works of Jesus Christ. So we follow in his footsteps. His footsteps were in line with the will of God the Father. That's called the life of sanctification. And it takes place when we receive faith, trusting in the promises of God that are given to us, not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament. As Jesus said from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." And as we receive that forgiveness, then we are restored to God. His kindness and truth have met. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Righteousness looks down from heaven. That's why the pastor says, upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of God, announce the gift of the forgiveness of sin. Psalm 85, a wonderful psalm for proper 10, reminding us of the forgiveness of sins. Join us tomorrow for the hymn, Jesus, Priceless Treasure. God bless you.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.